Okay, good evening. Thank you very much. I want to thank Philly Nyman for being so kind to bring me in tonight, taking care of the technical aspect, dimension of SheerandJin.com. And, of course, thank you to Jake. Jake for making all the arrangements. And welcome everyone tonight, Monday night, Rosh Chodesh Adar, Mishenichnas Adar Marim Simcha. I know it's a little bit of a debate if that applies to Chodesh Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, but I'm sure everyone will be very happy to be machmir and to agree that there's joy in Chodesh Adar Aleph as well. This week is Parshas Terumah. Parshas Terumah is a very beautiful parsha. Deals with the building of the Mishkan. Something very practical, very relevant. It says in the pasuk, "V'yosoli Mishkan." We, part of our lives, bread and butter, it's the meat and potatoes of our lives to attend services in our Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos, and all of this comes from this week's parsha, the Ofeli Mikdash. And even in Galus we have a Mikdash, as it says in the Pasuk of Navi, it says, V'ehi lohem le'mikdash na'at. Our Batei Knesiyos, Batei Midrashos is a Me'ein, is a miniature of the Mishkan, the Mikdash, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, in the time of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, the Mir Tashem, the Bayis Shlishi. And in the parasha, one of the kelim of the Mikdash, let's focus on, compare one to another, we have the Menorah, and we have the Arayin. On top of the Arayin, part of the Arayin, on top of the Arayin was the Kapiris. There was a cover. The cover, Rashi tells us, the thickness of the cover was one Tefach, and the dimensions of the cover were equal to that of the Arayin, 2.5 amos by 1.5 amos, and it perfectly covered the Arayin HaKodesh. Coming forth from this cover, this kapores, which was one tefach thick, pure gold, were the Kruvim. There were two angel-like creatures coming forth from the surface of the kapores, with wings spreading upward, and the Kruvim themselves also protruded upwards. And Rashi tells us that the image of the Kruvim were the face of a child, the parts of a teen like a child. The other Mamari Chazal that tell us that the two Kruvim, one was a Zohar, one was an Akeva, a magnificent image of Malachim, with faces of children coming forth from the top of the Arayin HaKodesh, which housed the Luchos. And Pasuk tells us something very important about the Kruvim. Pasuk says they shall be made in the form of Miksha. What does it mean, Miksha? Miksha means, Rashi, there are different interpretations to what this means, but Rashi says, it was, you bang with a hammer, chisel. It was one solid chunk of gold. And from this one solid chunk of gold, a craftsman, Yisrael was Bezalel, he would chisel away the pieces of this metal to form a sculpture from, of course, from pure gold of two Kruvim. Take a hammer and he would bang, Rashi explains, and everything was said and done, the end result was this one piece of metal, which included the base that was one tefachik that covered the Arayin with two Kruvim coming forward. Okay? That's what it means, the mixture. We mentioned before that there was another utensil, another kli that was part of the Mishkan, and that is the Menorah. The Menorah is rather complex. 7 branches. Each branch has the Kaftorim, the Gezim, the Prochim. There were these knobs that looked like apples. There were goblets, 3 goblets along up in the upper portion, and then there were flowers with the image of almonds. It was very elaborate. The menorah was extremely elaborate, and the Torah demanded that the menorah should be made also from one piece of gold. It was one massive chunk of gold, and the craftsman would chisel away, miksha. The exact same word that is used in reference to the Kruvim is used regarding the menorah. Both the menorah and the Kruvim were crafted and were the instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe, is both of these items should be made in the form of what we call miksha, to take a hammer and to chisel away. Now here's the question. I saw this question in a very, very choshev, a very distinguished sefer. It's called Oitzer Pilois. I think the name of the Mechaber is Rabbi Zicherman. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Zicherman. And he asks a question. We know that Rashi tells us that when Moshe was instructed to make the menorah, it was rather difficult. And after all of Hashem's detailed instructions, Moshe Rabbeinu was still unable to fully comprehend exactly the way Hashem wanted the menorah to appear. And Moshe was experiencing this difficulty, so Hashem said to Moshe, you know what, Moshe? Take the metal and just throw it into the fire, and miraculously Hashem will arrange. It should come forth on its own. The menorah will come forth a perfect product with the gevim, the goblets, and with the kaftorim, the round knobs, and with the prochim that had etched within the image of almonds. Miraculously, it will come forth on its own. Because Hashem acknowledged that the task, the instruction to take one massive piece of gold and to chisel away and to produce a finely detailed product that Hashem demanded with all of its details would be too much for man to achieve. But yet what is shocking is that we would expect the same way it was so difficult to create the menorah, it would be even more difficult for Moshe or Bezalel to chisel away at one massive chunk of gold and create two kruvim with their wings extended upwards. And yet nowhere do we find that Hashem miraculously brought about a result where they would simply throw the chunk of gold into a fire and would come forth a perfect arrangement of two kruvim. Why is it that only with regard to the menorah did Hashem do the miracle where the menorah came forth on its own perfectly? Whereas with regard to the kruvim, we don't find any such miracle. We find Moshe Rabbeinu had to struggle, had to work, they had to chisel away until they produce the perfect image of the kruvim coming forth from the kaparis. What's the difference between the kruvim and the menorah? Why in the menorah was there a miracle, and why for the kruvim was there not a miracle? So Rav Zicherman, he says a brilliant, brilliant answer. An answer that's really very, very, very powerful. And he explains that the kruvim represents teaching Torah to children. Rashi tells us that the panim, the face of the kruvim was sculpted in the image of children. It represents teaching Torah to Jewish children. Tinoikos shel beis rabba, yiddish kindelach. And the message that the Torah is giving us is, don't make a mistake and think that you can have children and send them off to yeshiva and miraculously they're going to come out perfect. They will learn Torah, be masnidin, be bali derecherets, honest, good, Jewish boys and girls who study Torah, learn Torah, love Torah. They serve Hashem with Yirat Shemayim. That's not the way it goes. You have to work very, very hard. The menorah, it represents Torah. We know the Chazal tell us the menorah represents Jewish scholarship, represents many lofty concepts. And sometimes we have great success. We have siyata d'shmaya. Miracles happen. You do your ishtablos, you do your best, and guess what? Hashem fills in miraculously. Things just fall into place. But when it comes to education, when it comes to children, that should not be added. A person, a parent, and teachers and schools have to understand you get what you put in. The more time you invest in chiseling away at your children to mold them, to teach them, to encourage them, to guide them, to pray for them, to make sure that they are developing in a beautiful way, that's when you will be successful in achieving angels. Angels with their wings reaching the heavens. For a person to think that he can take his children and just let go and just let them miraculously on their own develop into great people, halavai, maybe that happens one in a million. But with regard to the kruvim, Hashem said to Moshe, Moshe, you take a hammer, take a chisel, and get to work. It's not going to happen by itself. The menorah represents other lofty concepts, but it's not chinuch habonim. It's not raising children. The menorah, you can sit back. You can write a check. You can put in some time. And maybe if you merit, Hashem will help you along and things will fall into place. But when it comes to Jewish education, you have to take a hands-on approach. The degree of oversight and effort and concern is enormous. Don't have any expectations that miracles will happen. You get what you put in. This is a very powerful idea from Rav Zicherman. This is what he says in his Sefer Oitzer Peles. I want to just add one very small nekuda. Where did Hashem speak to the Jewish people? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, from where did he speak? Did he speak to Moshe Rabbeinu after the prayer was given in this world? Rashi tells us in the sixth parasha very clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice came out to Moshe from in between the kruvim. From the empty space in between the two kruvim is where Hashem's voice emanated. That's the kruvim. It's the Mokum where Hashem spoke to the Jewish people. The menorah. The menorah, candelabra, Chazal tell us, has light. It represents the principle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is resting his divine presence upon the Jewish people. In fact, they would take out, they would show, open up the doors, and they would show the Jewish people the menorah. They would say, Ru'u, the menorah is edus, it is testimony that HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his divine presence on the Jewish people. When you chisel away at the kruvim, what are you really doing? You are creating a void. When you create the kruvim, part of the process of chiseling away at the kruvim is you're also creating an empty cavity in between the two kruvim for where Hashem can allow his coil, his voice, his message to emanate. You're creating an empty space. When we design the kruvim, we're not just fashioning an image, an area where there's the tzura, the face of an angel, the wing of an angel, the body of an angel. Part of making the kruvim is also to make that empty space from where Hashem's voice can come forth. When it comes to children, there are many different approaches how to be mechanech children. Of course, a person has to daven for them, has to provide them with the best possible education. And there's an expense, there's a lot of work and effort, time. Time is a valuable asset. But there's another very important principle in Jewish education that any educator will tell you and emphasize. Children, by nature, are pure. They're very good by nature. And the challenge in Jewish education, more often than not, is the distractions. A child on its own would naturally become developed into a very great person. But unfortunately, we live in a world where there are distractions. And when a child is influenced, he's pulled in by the distractions that are thrust upon him from society that can cause very great harm. And sometimes the best thing an educator can do for a child is just to remove the distractions, to oversee the activities, the environment, the natural distractions that surround a child. And if those distractions are carefully monitored and dealt with in a responsible way, a child on his own would develop in a very beautiful way. Of course, you have to give him the best education, the best teachers, the best curriculum, time and recreation, everything. But a critical element of education is not just to give, it's also to monitor what not to give, to remove distractions. In creating the kruvim, it is the obligation of a parent to remove matter, to create that empty space, to remove something that does not belong in order to allow Hashem's voice, his message, his communication to come forth. Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu from the empty space in between the kruvim. With regard to the menorah, there's no mention of empty space. Moshe had to fashion seven branches with beautiful design and detail. So Moshe had a difficult time. So Hashem did it for him. But with regard to the kruvim, Jewish education, the Tinekesh Beis Rabban, it's not just Moshe was instructed to make kruvim, to create the image of these two angels that have the ponim of children. Part of that was also to create that empty space so Hashem can come in between that, in that empty space, and communicate. That is something that has to be done by man. man has to create empty space. Hashem creates space. Hashem creates matter. Hashem is the Yotzer Or. Hashem takes matter and Hashem forms it for us. And the menorah is the creation of the Yotzer. Yotzer means to fashion. Hashem, He creates this world. He has the ability. He does this. He fashions the most magnificent, the most beautiful things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave man a job. And that job is, sometimes I'm not asking you to create anything new. That's what I do. I create. I form. But I need man sometimes to create empty space, to clear the road. Soilu, soilu, panu derech. We say on Yom Kippur in the Haftarah, pave the road. Just take away the obstacles. Take away the stones. Clear the path. Remove the obstacles. Remove the distractions in order to allow that freedom, that openness for Hashem to enter. And then we will naturally come close and hear the words of Hashem. Only man can do this. And that's why with regard to the Kruvim, with the Kruvim's, the mission of the Kruvim to make the Kruvim from the metal is not just to make the angels. It has this element of creating the empty space from where Hashem speaks to man. That can only be done by man. That cannot be done by Hashem. That's not Hashem can do anything, of course. But that's not what Hashem wants us to have that portion, that chelik. Thank you very much for listening and for coming and sharing this Monday evening together with me to learn some words of Torah. Enjoy your week. Be successful and enjoy the Chodesh, a wonderful, joyous Chodesh Adar. Thank you and have a good night.